You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. If you cry often or feel like you experience emotions a lot more strongly than most people, you're not alone. You might be an HSP or a highly sensitive person.
HSPs are getting attention lately from the scientific community. Earlier this month was the first international scientific conference on high sensitivity that was in Belgium. There's also a documentary coming out this summer about highly sensitive people called Simply Sensitive.
So we decided to see what HSPs are all about, and we're taking your calls. Does this sound like you? Do you think you're a highly sensitive person? Are you relieved to hear there are other people like you out there? Are you close to someone who's an HSP, and how does that affect your relationship? You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Elizabeth Bernstein is with us. She's a reporter at the Wall Street Journal and writes the Bonds on Relationships column. Her latest column on highly sensitive people is posted on the Central Time Facebook page. Elizabeth, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, start us off with the definition. What is a highly sensitive person, or HSP?
A highly sensitive person is someone who really feels things more deeply than, say, regular people. And so they're feeling both positive and negative emotions more deeply. What they're really doing is their brains are taking in more stimuli. That's what the research is showing.
So what are the common characteristics of someone who has a, well, it's not a has thing, who is a highly sensitive person?
You know, it's somebody who is more empathic, paying closer attention to their environment. Highly sensitive people often can read other people's emotions much better than regular people. Again, they also can get not just highly sensitive to emotions, but to sound, to smell, to a lot of crowds, something, you know, a lot of stimuli going on. Very sensitive to stimuli. They can cry more easily, and then they can sometimes overreact, which is, tough to say, but they can.
And Elizabeth, as I read your reporting, correct me if I'm wrong, this is nature, not nurture. This isn't how we were brought up, how we grew up. This is in our brains.
This is in our brains. So there has been an increasing amount of study, scientific study on this, you know, up to about 100 different studies now on things related to high sensitivity. And it's showing that there's probably a genetic reason for this. And they're starting to isolate the specific genes. One of them is related to serotonin transmission. So how serotonin, which is a hormone that, a brain chemical that helps you, helps process sort of emotions in your brain and mood, how that works. And this is related to that. And while it is nature, it is genetic, it's something that if you have a good or bad childhood or a good and bad environment, that will impact you more if you are highly sensitive.
One interesting thing seems to be that it's equally found in men and women, because at first glance, it sounds like you're looking at old-fashioned gender stereotypes, you know, of women cries easily, overreacts, but it's men and women.
Exactly. You would think, oh, women would have it more. We have, you know, more hormonal shifts, whatever the stereotype is. But it turns out it's about 20% of the population, and it's equal in men and women. And in fact, since my article ran, I have quite a few men who've written and said, this is me. I'm so glad that I knew it's got a name, actually.
And Mindy on Facebook says, my husband is an HSP. She says, it's hard for men since it's not as socially acceptable to be so moved by people and overwhelmed or otherwise affected by their environment. So because of stereotypes, a woman might be less, I guess, judged for being highly sensitive than a man would.
Exactly. She may be less judged if she's tearing up. Depends on what it is. If she's crying in a movie or, you know, something moved her or upset her, you know, for sure. I think in the workplace, women may be judged harshly for being emotional, though, similarly as men. But, women can get away with their emotions a little more, which is expected of us.
Now, you've written that there is sort of an HSP moment happening now. I mean, there have been books about it for a long time, but why does it seem to be cresting again?
The research that's coming out, reporters are starting to look at the research. As we mentioned, a documentary maker, even some celebrities are coming out. So in that documentary, Alanis Morissette, the singer, is interviewed, and she says, you know, she's a self-confessed HSP. So people are starting to realize, wow, you know, there is a way that I am, you know, sort of in the world, the way I react to things. It's not depression. This is not depression. This is not introversion. These are not people who just, you know, want to be away from the world. It's something separate. People want to know what it is, and they're starting to look at it.
We're talking to Elizabeth Bernstein from the Wall Street Journal, looking at people who are highly sensitive, HSP, highly sensitive people. You can join in. Is this you? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Elizabeth, how does this affect people in relationships? Say where there's one person who is highly sensitive, an HSP, somebody else who isn't.
Well, for an HSP, first of all, you need to sort of understand yourself. Some people go through their whole life and wonder, why was I always sort of oversensitive to things? And, you know, once you finally realize, you know, it's not just me, this is something that other people have too, that's the first thing. But in a relationship, to directly answer your question, you know, if somebody doesn't understand that this is the way you are, they can think, oh, you're just weak. You're, especially if you're a man, right? You're just weak. You're just, you know, being a baby, being a crybaby, whatever. There's a lot of names that could be tagged onto this instead of, you know, you're somebody whose brain is literally processing more information, and that is harder to do.
And while we get some callers on the line, Elizabeth, I'll come clean. I'm an HSP.
You took the quiz.
I took the quiz, as did Rob. And I got, so I think there were, 25 questions on it? And if you got more than 14, you were an HSP. I got 22. Rob got
seven. Seven, yeah.
Which makes him an HIP.
HIP, highly insensitive person, we decided, yeah.
But so one question that came to my mind as an HSP, I guess, is that questions of self-care. Do we know about how people who are highly sensitive should take care of themselves and guard when they're being sort of bombarded with stimulation from life every day?
Exactly. So, for example, I mean, to give a little example that this is not like a foo-foo thing, when scientists put people who are HSP, who score very highly on that quiz, they put them in brain scans and they look at their brains are processing more information, especially when they're given emotional cues, when they're shown a picture of, say, a loved one who is smiling or who is unhappy. Their brains are really firing at a higher level. So to sort of understand that, you know, you can't take that much stimulation, you may need a timeout for yourself. So you may need to take a break. It could be from work, it could be from colleagues talking to you, a party, a crowd, something like that, but also from highly emotional situations. So if you're in an argument and you know you're highly sensitive, you want to be careful and maybe tell the person you're in this conflict with, you know, I need a little break. I've got to process some things, but I will come back to you soon, you know. So there's that. And then there's the regular things that we all should be doing, but they're very important for HSPs. Sleep, you know, getting a lot of sleep, getting the rest, eating right, exercising, like minimizing stress.
Not to hammer too deeply into Central Time hosting dynamics here, but if you've got a person like me, low on this scale, person like Veronica, higher on the scale, what do I do? How can I deal with that HSP in a way that respects the need for those breaks you're talking
Great
about?
Great question, Rob.
So it can work.
I'm not saying I'm going to do it.
But it can work great in any kind of partnership, you know, work or home. So you need to sort of understand that Veronica is an HSP. So if you can see her getting overwhelmed, if it's stress, if it's, you know, something, you know, technical issue, something's not going right, you know, you can watch that and maybe step in more quickly, give her a little break, or, you know, try to help if she seems flustered. But on the other side, she's probably going to be more sensitive to callers' questions, to some of the more emotional things there, so she can pick up the slack too in other areas.
All right, well, good question. We'll see how that plays out. Let's go to our callers now. We've got Bob on the line with us in Portage. Bob, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Thanks for the topic. I didn't know it was called HSP. I was always more of the, under the study of more of empathic, you know, line of thinking. But I'm a photographer, and I have been for 30 years, and have been battling all kinds of different issues because of the level of sensitivity that you experience when you are a person that processes an entire room, which makes me very good at what I do. But it's also, I am so emotionally drained and with engagement with all these individuals, but without a camera and being able to see the world through, you know, just the viewfinder, which isolates a lot of it, it gives me a lot more insight, but yet still gives me some boundaries.
Okay, Bob, interesting case there that the camera gives him a little bit of distance. And he's also getting at the yin-yang of this, that there are difficulties, but there's also a lot of benefits that come with being an HSP.
Exactly. And so the researchers also think that there's a number of professions that people who are HSPs really excel at, and they are the empathic professions. So they would make maybe better primary care physicians, but they're going to make better writers, better photographers, as he is, better counselors or teachers. I'd like to say reporters or, you know, talk show hosts. But so there's that. You know, you've got this big edge. He's going to see people for who they really are, and he can see it with or without that camera lens, you know, between him and that person. You know, but the downside is he's really taking in a lot of the a lot of those emotions as well. So again, I guess it goes back to self-care. Like, how do you take care of yourself before and after those experiences where you're working?
We're talking to Wall Street Journal columnist Elizabeth Bernstein about highly sensitive people, HSPs, the subject of her latest column.
And we're taking your calls. Does this sound familiar to you? Are you an HSP or someone close to you highly sensitive? And what is it like for you navigating the world as a highly sensitive person? Do you think there needs to be more awareness of people who are highly sensitive people? If you're one of these people, call us, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're continuing our conversation now with Wall Street Journal columnist Elizabeth Bernstein. Her latest column is about highly sensitive people, or HSPs. You can find a link to more about HSPs on the Central Time Facebook page.
We want to hear from you. Do you think you might be one of these people we're talking about? How has being highly sensitive affected your life? Is it a relief to know you're not alone? This is a thing? It's in your brain? Good or bad for your life? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we go to our callers. Now we have Lisa with us in Richland County. Lisa, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. This is a great topic. I'm listening to your characterization, and you're describing my 7-year-old son absolutely perfectly. So I'm wondering if this is something that can be applied to children.
Uh-huh. What about kids and being an HSP, Elizabeth?
Exactly. So they're seeing that this is starting in childhood, actually, you know, infanthood, and that, you know, it goes with the person. Good parenting can help a lot in helping, you know, some of the downsides of it, the crying and overreacting, but it's something that is also being studied in children. And then again, it's pretty steady across your life if you want one.
Lisa, thanks for the call. So how is this diagnosed, Elizabeth? We mentioned a quiz, and people can take that. It's linked from your article, which is linked on the Central Time Facebook page. But is it just that quiz that tells us, or is there more to it?
It is that, and the psychologists who sort of look at this have a more detailed quiz. So, you know, you can go to somebody and get a more detailed quiz. It's not it's not a syndrome, or, you know, it's not actually a diagnosis. It's a personality trait. So that's why it's done with a quiz, and you don't really need a doctor to tell you. You can sort of look at it yourself, and you know how you are. You pretty much know if you are one. I think most people have said when they take the quiz beforehand, they kind of know what they're going to be. But again, this is not something that's a disorder, something that's wrong with you. It's just the way you are. It's something that is an innate personality trait.
We'll go back to our phones now. We have Betsy with us in Fitchburg. Hi, Betsy.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm an occupational therapist, and I've had much experience with sensory processing disorder, and I wonder how that compares to what the guest is talking about.
Okay, so what about overlap, Elizabeth, between sensory processing disorder and being a highly sensitive person?
You know, I haven't looked at that research, so I don't know for sure, but my guess is that there is going to be some overlap or some connection there, because, again, this is a part of the brain. These are rewards parts of the brain. These are parts of the brain that process empathy and other emotions that really are overfiring when this is going on, which would be similar in the disorder. So I'm imagining there's some connection to this, also to depression, you know, that there's some overlap in some of these things. But again, they're distinct.
Can I just jump in and point out, though, that it sounds like the depression thing, being an HSP, could be beneficial to you in recovering from depression?
right?
Exactly. So very interesting new study shows that people who are HSP and separately depressed, again, these are separate things, they respond to cognitive behavioral therapy better, probably because they're just emotionally more attuned. It's easier for them to pick up and to react and to do some of the things they're supposed to do in that therapy because they are sort of processing it, you know, at a higher level. So if you are an HSP, therapy works really well for you, even better than if you aren't.
Talking to Wall Street Journal columnist Elizabeth Bernstein about HSPs, highly sensitive people, and how they interact in their lives with the rest of us on a daily basis. Back to our callers at 800-642-1234 with Ellen in Milwaukee. Ellen, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. There's so much to say. I'm trying to get my life across in a couple of seconds here. Recently, I had a complete breakdown, and I think that all my years being an HSP person along with depression and anxiety really caused that. Now, since that, I have sort of recovered a joy in myself and a joy at discovering how incredibly sensitive I am. It's hard to control sometimes, but what I see, what I hear, what I imagine, how I respond to people's feelings, I love it now.
Ellen, congratulations. I'm glad that you've come out of this in a happy way. Good luck to you in the future. And Elizabeth, that gets to what we were talking about some earlier, that this isn't inherently good or bad. There's nurture in how we deal with being highly sensitive.
Exactly. And so, as we were saying before, you know, good parenting, a good childhood could go a long way to helping somebody who's an HSP sort of learn to cope with those downsides to it better. But also you can nurture yourself as an adult, which sounds like this last guest was, you know, doing. And, you know, you can learn to, as she said, take the joy away from it. If you are empathic, if you see other people's emotions and feel for them more, you know, why not embrace that and find a way to even use that for yourself and others? You could volunteer, you could do art or music, or, you know, there's a lot of ways where this is really a huge plus.
Well, thank you for the call, Ellen. And we go next to Jocelyn in Sheboygan. Hi there.
Yes, good afternoon. I guess I'm an HSP because I feel like the poster child. I think I've been very intuitive my whole life. I have a deep rapport and love for animals and nature and all that. And I also am an artist. And I'm just wondering if those... And I have... Somebody used to tell me that I had the world on my shoulders. And that's exactly how I feel. Everything... And I do. I have so much... I take in so much information with, I notice everything. So I guess I'm pretty much a HSP.
Okay. Jocelyn, thank you so much for that call and raises an interesting point. You know, Elizabeth, are HSPs more likely to be artists?
You know, it's interesting. They're probably more likely to be the good artists. So, because they really are noticing everything. Like she said, she's noticing everything. So an attention to detail and a real intuition for your own feelings and those of others are really going to, it's a beautiful thing for that. So that's, you know, I can see where that's where that part of joy that the previous guest was talking about may come in. When you match that something else that you're really good at that and utilize those qualities.
Jocelyn, thanks for that call. We heard from Gray on Facebook who says, as an HSP, life can get very overwhelming. Have to have rest to keep balance in life. We also, HSPs, have a tendency to freeze instead of fight or flight in all situations. Elizabeth, you mentioned rest being key earlier on. How about that fight or flight response? Is that something we commonly hear about?
Yeah, I haven't heard that, but, you know, an HSP would know himself very well, so I would never discount it. If that's what he says, you know, it's freezing is, you know, what sort of happens, it's actually probably a good thing because of fight or flight, neither one of those is necessarily the best choice in any given situation. So, you know, freezing and waiting and giving yourself some time to think about it, even if you could do that deliberately instead of a freeze that you can't help, but, you know, I'm going to wait this out and think about it for a minute would be very helpful. That's actually what the therapists say. When you're overwhelmed, you know, wait it out.
Elizabeth, very interesting, and it struck a chord with our listeners. Thanks, as always, for being with us.
Thank you so much.
We've been talking to Elizabeth Bernstein. She's a reporter and columnist of the Wall Street Journal who writes the Bonds on Relationships column. Her latest column, one we've been talking about on highly sensitive people, can be found on the Central Time Facebook page. And you can keep sharing your stories and your experiences there while you check out the article.